Welcome to Real Talk Arkansas. I'm your host, Cody Ford, Outreach and Programming Director for Arkansas Cinema Society. In this special bonus episode, we are talking all about Fayetteville Film Fest. It is taking place in downtown Fayetteville, November 11th through 13th this year. It's going to be a hybrid event. Last year, you know, like pretty much everybody, it was all online. But this year, they're going to be doing it in person and digitally, taking place down at the UA Global Campus and at the Pryor Center. So they have 10 narrative and documentary features and then 40 short films. So it's something you don't want to miss it. They're going to end everything with their Best of the Fest event at the Walton Arts Center on Sunday, November 14th. They have passes and tickets available. So today we are going to talk with Dan Robinson, who is the festival's technical director and the operational manager for Fayetteville Public TV, and filmmaker Reed C. Carson from Fayetteville. Reed was last year's winner of the Fayetteville Film Prize, which is a pitch contest that the festival does that is sponsored by Rock Hill Studios. And Reed's pitch, he won it, and then he went on and he made the film, and it's premiering this year. So we're very excited for Reed, and we're going to find out all about what he put into it. And spoiler, he did a lot. So it's impressive, and I think you're going to enjoy that. So first, I would just like to welcome Dan Robinson to the show.
You bet. It's my pleasure.
Well, Fayetteville Film Festival coming up just right around the corner, and it's always an exciting time here in town whenever I've gotten to go in the past. So definitely looking forward to it. And, you know, looking through the schedule, you guys have some good films lined up. But let's just talk about overall what people can expect, because last year you guys went all online during COVID, right?
That's correct. The way things were, we felt like that was the safest way. But then that provided us some amazing silver linings and some new dynamics. We found that we were able to engage with a wider audience because we were online, and we still did lots of interactive panels and things. So we felt like we were still able to connect with our community, but doing it all virtually last year. And we figured we would build on that this year, knowing that we had such success with our virtual program last year. We are combining that with in-person events this year so people can engage both ways, and we're really excited to be back in person.
Well, that's awesome. And it's going to be November 11th through 13th, right?
That's correct.
Downtown Fayetteville, Pryor Center, and Global Campus?
That's correct.
Okay. So, and then, of course, people being able to stream it and everything as well for the shorts blocks.
That's right. Eventive is going to be our hub for both in-person and the virtual events. You'll be able to buy tickets to the in-person events. You'll also be able to buy tickets to the virtual screenings all through Eventive. So we had over 170 submissions this year, which we were really excited about. And we curated that into 54 projects that are being screened. So we've got 5 narrative features, 5 doc features, 34 narrative shorts that we'll be screening. And 10 documentary shorts. So there's just going to be a wide catalog of content that people will be able to engage with. And we're really excited about that.
And with some of these, like with your documentary, your narrative, and your emerging filmmakers blocks, what is your criteria for someone when they submitted to that?
We have a wonderful panel of judges that looked over all the content. And, you know, a big goal of the Fayetteville Film Fest has always been to elevate the content that people are used to seeing, the celebrate the people who are creating exceptional content here in Arkansas and around the world. So we're always true to our dedication to celebrating Arkansas films specifically, but we also have robust submissions from all over the country and all over the world. And we're really excited to share those with a viewing audience here in Fayetteville.
So it's wide open then. It's not like with Filmland Arkansas, like you have to have some sort of an Arkansas connection. Do you guys have that within the criteria, or it's like you encourage Arkansas filmmakers, but you know, if someone from like France wanted to submit and you liked it, you might run that.
Absolutely. So the first thing we do is open up our Arkansas connection category with no submission fee. So if someone has an Arkansas connection, we definitely want to see what they're bringing to the table. So that is the first tier of submissions that we usually get are Arkansas-based submissions. And then we curate the festival to be sure to help people understand and get to know the people who are making films in their neighborhood. So yes, definitely a strong Arkansas connection there.
Well, that's awesome. So I got to talk recently to Reed Carson, who won the Fayetteville Film Prize last year. And yes. We talked about his film that's going to be playing at the festival, right? It'll be premiering there?
Correct. As a matter of fact, we'll be premiering two Fayetteville Film Prize winners this year. We're very excited about the Fayetteville Film Prize initiative. That was something that we brought to the table where we wanted to empower someone with a great pitch to have the financial resources to be able to produce a short film. So Joe Orweiler, who won in 2019, was not able to produce her movie because of the pandemic. So then this year she was able to get the movie produced. So we'll be premiering her film as well as Reed Carson's film, two film prize winners in one block. And then at that same time, after we screen those, we'll be announcing the winner of this year's Fayetteville Film Prize.
Well, let's talk about the film prize a little bit more. How many years has that been around? And if somebody was interested in doing it this year, how would they get involved?
So I think it's been around 3 years now. I think this is the fourth year. So what we went to last year and we found worked very well. So I'll go back and say the first year it was an in-person pitch. You had to show up. You had to stand in front of a panel of people and explain your film on a stage. And that was a really exciting thing to happen. But then last year, with the advent of the pandemic, we decided to do video submissions. So people do their pitch at their convenience on their phone or on their computer. They're able to pitch their idea to us. And the film prize is a $2,000 cash prize that has been sponsored by Rock Hill Studios allows those people to then take their idea and produce a film. And what we've seen, especially like in the case of Reed's film, was that he used that as a launching point and did significant fundraising on top of that for support for his film. So his budget far exceeded what the prize offered, but the prize was definitely the first money in on his project.
Yeah, he was telling me about that. I was really impressed with how much money they're able to bring together and, you know, how good it looked whenever it came out. So, yeah,
I think this is a film.
It's a really exciting thing. So if someone wanted to pitch this year, is there still time to sign up?
Absolutely. We'll be putting our sign up on our website. People will be able to sign up and then submit their video. And then those will be judged by a panel of judges. And then we will announce the winner on the Saturday.
Okay. Do you guys have like celebrity judges people know, or is that kind of a private thing?
They are industry professionals that are in the area that understand what it takes to make something happen. It's fascinating when we hear someone's pitch, what they focus on and, you know, the things that they feel like are the compelling dynamic of what they're doing. But with the film prize in particular, another big part of it is the education around. So you have a great idea and now you have $2,000. What are you going to do from here? And we have always had a very close relationship with the people who win the prize, ensuring their success and helping them make sure that they've got everything they need to be able to have a film to premiere the following year.
Well, that's awesome. I'm excited to hear who wins it this year. And all of this, like to learn about the film prize or any of that, people can go to FayettevilleFilmFest.org.
That's correct. Our website is a great place to start to get tickets, to find out how you can volunteer. We've got great volunteer perks this year. So if someone wants to get involved and wants to earn a t-shirt and free screening passes and that sort of thing, another big part of what we enjoy is activating the people who are passionate about film, who are not necessarily in the industry, but love having the opportunity to be a part of the event and get to know the community and serve the community in a volunteer way.
Awesome. Oh, and one thing we didn't really touch base on Thursday, November the 11th, the opening night block party. And I see on the website, yes, the location is the Pryor Center. Is it going to be indoors or is that going to be kind of out on the square for the party?
We're planning on out on the square. We're going to shut down the street and have a street party and have an outside screen. We do have the Pryor Center as a backup, weather contingent. It is November 11th, so we'll see. It might be blustery. So either way, we're going to have the opportunity to screen a great block of films and get everybody together. And it's a non-ticketed event, so people can stroll up and find out about the fest and see what's on the program and meet people and then make plans for another couple of days of great film screening.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else that's new or unexpected that you can tell us about for this year?
Well, we're also really excited about our Michaud Award program. We're going to be screening several films that were born out of our Michaud program, which is another version, if you will, of a film prize specifically for BIPOC filmmakers. So we've had a great year-round interaction with BIPOC filmmakers and have granted them money to be able to produce their films as well. So we will be having a screening of the Michaud Award winners and a panel with them that will hopefully give them the representation that we feel like they deserve and the opportunity to learn more about BIPOC filmmakers. So as it stands, Friday at 3:00, we'll be screening the Michaud Award winners and having that panel and workshop for that community.
And do people need tickets for that? I just didn't notice that one on the website yet. So is it ticketed, free for the public?
It would be ticketed, but it would most likely be free, but tickets so that we know how many people are coming. And so you'll be able to reserve your spot. But that is still in development and will be available on the Eventive website.
Okay. And, you know, besides Rock Hill with the film prize, are there any other partners you'd like to mention, you know, shout out to?
Well, we have had a great relationship with Fayetteville Public Television for all these years, and it's wonderful to have a public television resource that empowers the film community all year long with resources and education and having them as a partner. And we, you know, our partnership with the Global Campus and the Pryor Center, they've been excellent supporters. We've had great partners through the development of this festival, and we definitely try to make a point of celebrating the organizations that support film and the businesses, because there are a lot of businesses that provide in-kind and provide services to the film industry, and we are really excited to have the opportunity to celebrate them as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, I think celebrating those businesses and other organizations just, I mean, getting these films done, I mean, without having large budgets, you call in a lot of favors. So I think it's very cool to be able to shine a light on those in our community that really, you know, support local filmmaking. So, well, that's awesome, Dan. We appreciate you coming on and talking about it. FayettevilleFilmFest.org, if anybody wants to go buy tickets, get more information. And yeah, look forward to seeing you there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Our next guest is Reed C. Carson. Reed is a Northwest Arkansas native who recently relocated to Los Angeles to break into the industry. And last year, Reed was the winner of the Fayetteville Film Prize, which is sponsored by Rock Hill Studios. Reed got $2,000 to go and make the short film that he pitched, which is coming out. It's called Good Gorgeous Hell. It's an intense film, and they did a great job. But Reed didn't stop there. He took that $2,000 of seed money, and he went on, and he raised a lot more, and really put together a fantastic film. So let's welcome Reed to the show to tell us more about it.
Reed, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Cody.
So I want to talk for a minute about Good Gorgeous Hell, the film that you will have in this year's Fayetteville Film Festival. So, you know, first, let's just start with the title and or tell me how it came about, because you told me this. I figure the title probably ties into it a little bit later. So, yeah, you did a pitch contest last year, right?
Yes. So through the Fayetteville Film Festival, Fayetteville Film Festival offers something called the Fayetteville Film Prize. It was, you know, in the midst of quarantine, I was feeling down and out, as I think all of us were, and I was writing a lot and just like not connecting with any of the scripts that I was writing. And then I saw that this pitch contest was coming up through the Fayetteville Film Festival, and I was just kind of like, you know, maybe if I just sit and think, maybe I'll come up with something and I can pitch something. Yeah, I was sitting in my backyard listening to a podcast about Midsommar, the Ari Aster movie, and he was talking about using his family trauma to make something amazing. And I kind of thought, well, what could I use from my past? I decided to pitch a pretty semi-autobiographical story about the time that my father in real life faked having a black eye with makeup and pretty much blackmailed my mom, my mom's lawyers, my grandparents, my school counselor, all this stuff. And I don't know, I just felt like it's a story that has never been told, and wanted to bring, I guess, a voice to my past, kind of selfishly for myself. And wanted to also let, you know, other little boys know that, like, you know, maybe you're going through something really rough too in your childhood, and maybe you need to see something on screen to remind you that, you know, you're not alone out there. So yeah, in November 2020, I had that idea, and I recorded a really quick 3-minute pitch. Originally, the film was called When You're Older, or When I'm Older, something like that. I just pitched it kind of like I just said, just here's the story about my dad and the black eye and the blackmail. And originally, like, the film would end with, like, I don't know, it was very meta. It was like the camera would turn around and I would be sitting there in a director's chair and it'd be like, I'm older now. But we scrapped that because it was kind of cheesy. And then it slowly developed and the title changed. It was going to be called Daddy Issues for a long time. And then I landed on the title Good Gorgeous Hell. I was working a job in Chicago as a production assistant on a TV show. And I remember this extra was like standing there talking to someone, and I overheard him say, "Good gorgeous hell." Ooh, that's a movie I heard. Kind of back, and it seemed like the perfect title for this movie. Because
can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
It cut out like shortly after you working as PA on there. So could you just start that over with I was working as a PA in Chicago, and just tell the story again? I'll cut all this out.
Okay, got you. So yeah, I was working as a PA in Chicago on a TV show, and there was this background actor, and he was an interesting character, and I overheard him at one point. He just kind of screamed, "Good gorgeous hell." And I thought that was a perfect title for a movie. So I put it in my back pocket, kind of saved it. And when I was thinking about what the title for this movie should be, that kept coming up in my head, because I would describe my childhood as mostly good. Sometimes it was gorgeous, sometimes it was hell. So that's kind of where the title comes from.
That's a really interesting title. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought about it. So yeah, I was definitely curious about where that aspect of it came from. So when you were preparing to pitch, did you study up on pitching, or had you like been taught how to pitch, or you just kind of got up there and rolled with what, you know, your personal experience?
Yeah, I haven't pitched a lot yet. I'm pretty young, so I'm like fresh out of film school. Not fresh, it feels fresh. Like, I graduated film school and December 2019, but in film school, we did a lot of practice pitching. I had to pitch to, like, my thesis film. I had to pitch to a whole room of, like, 50, 60 people, and that was nerve-wracking, but also, like, I kind of love that kind of stuff. I'm also a performer, and I love being, like, on stage, so pitching isn't really scary for me, but yeah, I don't know. Going into this pitch, I just kind of, you know, took down basic notes of things I needed to say. And then I just kind of went for it. I mean, you know, maybe filmed myself talking for 10 minutes, cut it down to 3, and sent that out to the Fayetteville Film Festival.
So you won the pitch contest and you got the film prize, and that money was used to actually make the film, correct? And how much was the money, and, you know, how did you go into, like, with pre-production, you know, budgeting that out and all of that good stuff?
Yeah. So the Fayetteville Film Prize, I was awarded the prize money through the Fayetteville Film Festival and Rock Hill Studios. And the money was a $2,000 grant, which is.
So it was 2 and not 10.
2, yeah, 2,000, not 10.
Okay, yeah, my bad then.
No, you're fine. Yeah, $2,000 grant, which is amazing, and so very thankful. And that was a really great base, a really great place to start. And when I first got the money, it was really just me alone on the project at that point. And then I started working with the liaison between the Fayetteville Film Festival and the Fayetteville Film Prize, which would be Dan Robinson. And he and I kind of talked out, you know, more specifics of the film. He helped me kind of start the editing process of the script. And then about that time was when I brought on my producer, Inosa Okbede, who's also from Fayetteville, who I live with now in Los Angeles. But yeah, Inosa and I talked it out. Inosa helped me shape the script too. And then that's when we really like kind of hunkered down. We're like, okay, $2,000, amazing base, amazing place to start, but we will need more money. So Inosa and I worked from probably January 2021 to June 2021, raising more money. We ended up raising a budget of $20,000 for the whole thing, on top of the $2,000 that the Fayetteville Film Prize got us. So I'm very thankful. That was just like the fire we needed to start raising money and getting people on board with supporting this project.
So when you were raising that, was that like did you do some sort of online campaign, or were you hitting up, you know, friends and family kind of a thing? How did that process work for you to get to the bigger budget going?
Yeah, I'm happy that you asked that, because I think raising money for films is so, I don't know, it's so different, I think, for each project and each person. You know, some people are blessed with parents that are millionaires and they can just like, here, give me money. And that's great. I don't have that. So yeah, Inosa and I talked it out, and we brought on Inosa's father, who's a fundraiser at universities. And he helped us a lot, kind of just plan out what we needed to do. And we were talking about, do we want to do a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo, which I've done in the past for past projects. And honestly, you know, hasn't been the best outcome for me in the past. And not to say that it doesn't work for people, it totally does. But you kind of have to be lucky and work really hard at sharing the link and all that stuff. So we landed on, let's just start with reaching out to friends and family and friends of friends and family of family and all that stuff. And it was a long process of just emailing a bunch of people from our past and from our present. And, you know, we offered like sponsorship tiers. So, you know, donate X amount of money and you get this, donate X amount of money and you get this. And it ended up working out, I don't know, more just like perfectly. And in our back pocket, we did have a GoFundMe like ready to go in case we needed to raise that extra X amount of money. But are also one of the things that we talked about was like, you know, what works good for Kickstarters, a film like The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which was funded through a Kickstarter. What worked great for them was that they had stuff to show for it. They had a little teaser trailer ready to go so that when they started the Kickstarter, people could see what it could be. So our idea was like, let's not do a Kickstarter for this short film. Let's save a Kickstarter in case we want to turn this into a feature film. So we have something tangible to show people. So yeah, that was our idea for that.
Okay. So whenever you guys got the funding, did who helped produce? Did both of you guys produce and like line producing and all that? Or did you bring in extra talent for pre-production and production?
Yeah, my production team is the best production team I've ever worked with in my life. I'm so thankful for them. But yeah, Inosa was our lead producer. Dan Robinson, who I mentioned, was our associate producer. Godwin Charles Okbede, Inosa's dad, is an executive producer. And I am a co-producer. And then people that donated X amount of money got the producer credit as well. But then from there, the line producer, we didn't have one, so that was really just Inosa pulling double duty, pulling honestly like triple, quadruple duty. And then we brought on our assistant director named Paula Perez from, she was in Conway at that time. Or no, she was living in Fayetteville working for the Fayetteville.
I know Paula. I think she's in Conway now. She's up here at Fayetteville Public TV.
Yeah, love her so much. She was our AD and a magical AD that just organized Enosa and I's mess for us. And then we brought on our art director is Soph Barnes, who's up in Little Rock. And then I brought on my friend from Chicago, who now lives in LA, Paige Hochstatter, as our DP. So that was like the core group of people throughout the like 3 months of heavy pre-production before we started shooting in June.
So you're in pre-production and now you've got to cast it. How did you go about, particularly with young actors? Because I wanted to talk about that. I mean, you had like a lot of kids in this film.
Yes.
So talk to me about the casting process. And then I particularly want us to circle back to working with all the children and, you know, all the extra things that kind of went into that.
Sure. Yeah. So none of the cast would be anything without Mark Landon Smith. We brought Mark Landon Smith and the Actors Casting Agency on as our casting directors.
Mark is an old pal. I worked with him on a couple projects years and years ago. I mean, I think they are lost to like MySpace and YouTube now, and I'm kind of glad on my end, but Mark was really great to work with.
It was
just a lot of fun.
Mark just would start sending me like, you know, maybe 12 headshots of different actors in the area. That's how we just started, just going off of that. And, you know, I am born and raised in Fayetteville. I did a lot of theater in Fayetteville, saw a lot of theater in Fayetteville. So I had a pretty good base knowledge of a bunch of these actors and, you know, had an idea of maybe who would fit and who wouldn't already. And Mark is very honest with me, which is important in casting. So he also, you know, would send me, you know, 12 people and be like, this one will be it. This one, maybe. This one, I don't know. And that was really great. So then from there, it was just kind of inviting people to send in tapes and got a bunch of tapes, watched those, and just narrowed it down until we had maybe like two or three people that we wanted to see, that we wanted to actually like bring in to do an in-person casting session with them. And that was a really magical time because, you know, at that point, the movie can go anywhere. And I am a full believer that the actors make the movie, you know, casting I think is 90% of the director's job. Once you get a good cast, the rest is just kind of easy. I felt really important to just like focus and find the perfect people for these roles. When I knew Steven Marzoff, who plays the father, I know him through the Theater Squared Shakespeare Academy, which Enosa and I did for like 4 years in high school. And I've seen Steven act a lot. And I knew that he had a certain, just like he has something deep and dark in him, but also levels that darkness out with love. And I've seen that in like every role that he's done. So when he first sent in his tape, it was kind of like, oh yeah, this is pretty magical. I'm scared of this person, but I also feel for him. And then we brought him in to do like an in-person casting session. And that was when it was sold for me. Cause we just, instead of just like, you know, we did run the scene and talk about things, but then we just ended up just talking for like 45 minutes, just about the character and about philosophy and how people act and all this stuff. And it was I just knew that Steven understood the character without me having to do much, and that was magical. And then we brought in Missy Gibson, who plays the mom, and it was interesting. It was between like her and another actor who didn't have children. And that was something that I remember me and Enosa and Mark talked about. It honestly felt like Missy was bringing in the fact that she has children to her role, and the other actor just couldn't access that because that's not there. And so that was kind of just a simple, like, yes, that's what we need. And then we brought in Natasha Devon, who's an actor with the Theater Squared and other places around Fayetteville. And Mark, like I said, was brought on. And then there's, I feel like I'm blanking on someone important. And then Enosa, the producer, we also cast her as Stevie, the bartender in the movie. And that was, Enosa didn't have to audition. I wrote that for her. I knew she would kill that part, and I think she does. And then the scariest part for me was casting a child. I've never worked with kids. I've never directed children before. And I was, scared out of my mind and nervous. And it was, I owe finding Joe Walker, who plays Reese, I owe that all to Mark. Mark had maybe two options for me, and he laid them on the table, and he's like, here's this one, but here's Joe. You're going to want Joe, but we're going to see this one just to show you that you're going to want Joe. And Joe sent in his tape, and I was like, okay, yes. And then Joe came in and did an actual casting session, and it was just perfect. I've never, I was acting Joe's, I think, 12 or 13 now, and I started acting about that time too. And I've never seen a kid understand how to access these emotions so easily like Joe can do. And it was just magical to watch him work. And it took me like maybe a day or two once we got on set to like kind of learn how I need to direct him, how I need to direct kids. Because it's a little different from, directing adults.
Did Mark give you some tips on that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Mark like kind of came and whispered in my ear a couple times, like, hey, say this and it'll work. And the thing I learned was like children respond more to action-based direction instead of like, more philosophical, inner mind direction, which is how I usually direct. So it was a lot more like look down. And then suddenly Joe like looks sad. It was just stuff like that, which it was weird. But once I kind of got in the flow, and once I understood how Joe takes direction, it just kind of all worked. Mark's been directing kids for years, so he knew how to talk to them. And Enosa, my producer, she was a lifesaver. She, would come in and also kind of whisper in my ear and be like, hey, say this, this will work more. Cause he knows it's just, better with kids than I am. I'm just so blessed and thankful for Joe to just be a part of this. And I truly think that he has a beautiful career ahead of him. And I hope that this, helps propel him to, maybe just like one step more to where he is. He's truly amazing. It made my job so much easier to have him on.
I felt like he did a really good job on it.
He's remarkable, truly remarkable. Just a good kid. And also just like, we shot for 5 days, and by day three, he was like really comfortable with us and just like making fun of us and like just being a little jerk, but in the best way. It was great. Just a good person to have on set, just good energy on set,
If people want to watch this, it will be going on at Fayetteville Film Festival, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We will be showing in the narrative short block number 1, which is November 12th, at 5:30 p.m. I believe it's at the Global. Yeah, it's at the Global Campus on the square in downtown Fayetteville. And then, yeah, fingers crossed, we'll get into the Best of Fest showcase on that Sunday. But, you know, knock on wood, we'll see what happens. But yeah, and then it will also be streaming through the, like, digital version of the festival. Yeah.
And what's next for you?
Yeah. So I just moved to LA a month ago. So I'm kind of getting on my feet out here, but I've been, you know, PAing and working odd jobs here and there so far, but I'm producing a project next for a friend out here. It's like a experimental fairy tale type thing, which is really cool. I got a few, you know, like a music video lined up and a weird like short horror film lined up. Nothing very major in the works for me right now. I'm kind of like saving my energy for the festival run of Good Gorgeous, and also I've been just writing a lot. So just been focusing on writing scripts and seeing if I can turn Good Gorgeous Hell, the short, into Good Gorgeous Hell, the feature. That's kind of my next big accomplishment that I'm working on. Yeah.
Okay. And if, you know, anyone wants to follow your journey as a filmmaker, do you have some social media handles or website you'd like to share?
Yeah, I am on Instagram at reedccarson.mov. I'm also, I have a website. It's just reedccarson.com. And you can find my like YouTube and Vimeo from there. But yeah, don't have a Twitter. I don't use Facebook. So yeah, that's about it. I guess you can email me too, but I'm not going to give out my email. So, you know.
That's fair enough, you know. And don't give out your number because people will be trying to, you know, help with your car's extended warranty. I literally just got a call while we were sitting here, and it's like scam likely. So,
Lord.
You don't want to give out too much information.
No.
But Reed, thank you for being here today. Good Gorgeous Hell, playing at Fable Film Festival. Everyone should go check it out. And good luck to you with everything.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Cody. It was nice to meet you digitally. So come to the Fable Film Festival if you can. It'll be a lot of fun.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Real Talk Arkansas. I'd like to thank my guest, Dan Robinson, and Reed C. Carson for stopping by. Be sure to check out the Fayetteville Film Festival, taking place on November 11th through 13th in downtown Fayetteville. And they also have an online program, and that will be viewable from November 14th through November 21st. It even has some exclusive content on there that you want to check out. So to learn more, go to FayettevilleFilmFest.org. And thank you for listening. Real Talk Arkansas is produced by Christian Lewis and Cody Ford. Theme music by Amos Cochran. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time. To find out more about Arkansas Cinema Society, visit our website, www.arkansascinemasociety.org.